La fil. The thread. The wire. The filament. The line. La fil. Words and music from French vocal sensation Camille, this morning on Strange Angels. It's Saturday, the 10th of June, 2006. This is Glenn Zuckman at the Holiday Inn in Los Angeles, California, here with French vocalist Camille. Camille has released three records in Europe, Le Sac de Fille, 2002, Le Fil, 2005, and Live at the Trianon, 2006. Her latest studio record, Le Fil, was released in the United States on Tuesday, and she makes her U.S. solo performing debut in a few hours at the Knitting Factory here in Los Angeles. Winner of the 2005 Constantin Prize and two 2006 Victoire Awards, the UK's Daily Telegraph has called Camille a sonic Joan of Arc. Camille, welcome to Los Angeles and welcome to Strange Angels.
Thank you.
You've been compared to a lot of progressive vocalists, Laurie Anderson, Bjork, et cetera, et cetera, but that was the first time I've heard you compared to Joan of Arc. What do you think of that?
I like Joan of Arc as a strong female figure. She had a lot of strength. I don't know if she was aware of what she was doing or if she was manipulated or like hysterical. I don't know about that, but she was expressing something strong. So I like her in that sense.
And have you had visions?
Have I had visions? I think when you create, you always have visions. You work on visions, yeah.
But hopefully you will not wind
dying
up burned at the
fire.
Stake.
Well, you know, stage is about fire, they say, so.
Oh, so maybe, okay. So your latest record, Le Fil, it begins with a single human breath and then is followed with a note. It's B, is that right?
It's a B, yeah.
It's followed by 71 minutes of B.
Oh, at the end, yeah. And oh, yeah, it's 70. Yeah, you're right.
And that B never leaves us. It weaves in and out of every track on the record. It unifies the disc in a wonderful way, although I must tell you it's a little bit insidious because now whenever I'm driving in my car, whether I'm listening to you or listening to someone else or listening to nothing, I constantly have the feeling that I'm listening to a Camille song because somehow I hear the car or the road or something and I think there's that B ever with me now.
So it's good.
So it's everywhere. One of the things that I think is so interesting is that this record feels so of the moment, it's so of this time, and yet somehow that relentless B that carries us through Le Fil also feels to me very old, very primordial, like it comes from some proto-human time. And so somehow I find myself wondering, you know, I don't know that we know if singing came before language, but I'm going to guess that maybe it did, that the impulse to vocalize, even if we didn't have words yet, that early humans maybe wanted just to vocalize a sound or a wail or something. And I'm just wondering, you know, what you think about that sort of first human impulse to sing, to vocalize.
Well, for me, singing is more about sounds than about melodies or harmonies. So for me, whatever was the first sound a human being made. I think that was about singing.
Okay.
I did one track for a report, I don't know, about the first, comment est-ce qu'on dit? Members of humanity, I don't know how they were called, les hommes de Cro-Magnon, Neanderthal, you know?
Early humans.
Okay. Anyway, I did one track on the soundtrack of a report about first...
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And it was about how singing started. And it was a human burying someone. And he started crying. And this crying slowly changed into a melody. So I don't know if that's scientific. I don't know if that is based on, you know, scientific
facts. But that's exactly what I was thinking of.
Facts,
that doesn't even require language. That's simply
human spirit. Yeah, well, it was someone wooing and, you know.
So tell me about breath and breathing.
Well,
so before that 71 minutes of B, we have that single human breath.
Yes. I think, well, one of the first elements, singing is very simple, a simple mechanical phenomenon. It's about breath into a muscle and then how it resonates inside and outside. So singing starts with a breath, and we start living with a breath, and immediately after, well, usually we shout.
Our first act is a breath and a shout.
Yeah, and for me, taking my breath and starting with a single note is like the start of singing and the most elaborate form it can take. You know what I mean? One note is very simple and it's very elaborate. You know, to hold a note can be very difficult. So it's both at the same time.
It's this sort of minimal, in a way, impulse, but those minimal impulses tend to become elaborate.
Yeah.
Actually, it's funny that we touch on minimal. Well, before I go there, actually, I wanted to let you sing something before we took off. And I know you normally multi-track and have other singers with you, so I'm putting you a little on the spot.
Okay. I can sing. I feel like more improvising something than singing one of my songs.
Very good. Fantastic. Thank you.
That was amazing. Anyway, I was getting. It's called "Getting Out of the Plane." That's the name of the song I've just made.
Getting out of the plane. Very
good.
Yeah,
getting out of the plane.
You're listening to Strange Angels on KBeach Global Radio, 1310 AM in Long Beach, across the globe at www.kbeach.org. This is Glenn Zuckman at the Holiday Inn in Los Angeles, here with French vocalist Camille, who will be making her United States solo debut this evening at the Knitting Factory.
Est-il bien nécessaire de me dire vous plutôt que tu, si c'est pour par derrière me botter le cul? Là-bas en Angleterre, ils se disent tous you, c'est plus clair. De Toto, Tony Blair, Alisa Rassu.
So speaking of minimalism, for some reason, in thinking about your work, a number of visual artists came to mind. So let me ask you about some visual artists. In the middle of the last century, the American painter Ellsworth Kelly was living in Paris, and at some point it occurred to him that although he had seen many paintings by Monet, he had really never seen anything from Monet's last years of life. So he got in touch with the grandson and the stepson, and the stepson invited him to come down to Giverny. So he went down to Giverny and went into these storage rooms filled with enormous canvases, and Kelly describes them as being these huge canvases that were very heavily painted, almost entirely white. And so the day after he spends in Giverny, he's back in Paris, and he makes, for the first time, a monochrome. So Kelly's own Le Fil that he's been on, pointing in this direction, but finally the day after Giverny, he makes this monochrome painting.
And Monet, the painter.
Yes.
He did a monochrome painting.
Well, never quite monochrome, but these like very heavily white paintings.
I don't know them.
They're not
yes,
common.
Yes, they're not.
The water lilies are much more common, and these are very late paintings. And so that takes Kelly into that space, and Kelly's monochromes and series of panels in colors are are received with a great deal of difficulty. And people say, well, it's not enough. It's not a painting. And that made me think about your work, which is certainly not monochrome. But again, your 71 Minutes of B does have a minimalist impulse, I think. And so I wonder, how do you know when it's enough? How do you know when it's a song?
My point is not to create songs, it's more to create worlds, I would say. So I like songs and songs are part of my work, but if I feel they should be in between two songs, an interlude or a sound, then I would use it as a comma or something that makes sense on its own, you know. I think every idea has its format. So the point is not to know if it's finished, the point is to know if the format suits the idea.
Okay.
So that's how I know when it's finished.
And I think probably you're evolving a lot and performing things on stage, and I'm guessing that they don't stay static for you, that they grow and shape a little bit?
They do. Sometimes I'm aware of it and I want it, and sometimes I'm not even aware of it. It's just life, you know, playing with people brings you new ideas, make you improvise. It's chemistry. It's like things going on and you don't necessarily control them, but it shifts, it changes. Je l'ai pas trouvé dans les théâtres, je ne l'ai pas trouvé. Au cinéma, je ne l'ai pas trouvé dans les lieux de vie, je ne l'ai pas trouvé dans tous les endroits où s'exprime, je ne l'ai pas trouvé. Je n'ai pas trouvé dans la cuisine, je ne l'ai pas trouvé dans le salon, je ne l'ai pas trouvé dans la cave, je ne l'ai pas trouvé dans le grenier. Je ne l'ai pas trouvé dans le garage, je ne l'ai pas trouvé sur les hauts, je ne l'ai pas trouvé dans le jardin public, je ne l'ai pas trouvé dans le... Jean de Vincennes. Je l'ai cherché jusqu'au fond de ton lit, je n'ai pas réussi, je n'ai pas trouvé le cri.
The artist Yves Klein, when he wasn't busy dipping models in blue paint, he wrote about the war between line and color, or, if you will, the war between le fil and color. Klein wrote that line had subjugated color and that in so doing had subjugated the human spirit. And he wrote that it might take a million years, but that color would plot a revenge that was stronger than anything, and that when color liberated itself, it would liberate the human spirit with it. And I hardly think that Klein was anticipating or thinking about your music, but I just sort of couldn't help but wonder if your Le Fil is subjugating anything.
I don't know if Le Fil is a line or a color, but I think of my album as sketches. I really see sketches in my mm-hmm. mind. And in the booklet, there are some of my sketches, which is they're really about lines, you know, about black on white. But at the same time, for me, this single note is a color. It's like a neutral color on which other colors are going to stand out, like black, you know.
It's a line and a color at the same time,
yeah,
in a way.
Yeah, so you put black and on it, you know, some red is going to pop up. I don't know how you...
Yes.
It's going to stand out more than if it's on a, you know, pink or... on something.
Contrast.
Yeah.
In 1976, Christo and Jean-Claude installed a work here, actually, in California, Running Fence. It was 40 kilometers of fabric that ran in a line, you know, le fil, from the Pacific Ocean to ranches and homes north of San Francisco. And I sort of thought that running fence and le fil had maybe a certain kinship. And I just wonder if you think that idea of that fabric running across all these acres of California resonates with your own work.
It does. My thread is about space, certainly. I thought of le fil as something relating myself to myself, I don't know. And I thought of le fil as the world we live in is a world with no physical thread linking people together. Less and less, you know, we talk a lot about wireless. In French we say sans fil, without threads, connections. And I needed to find, well, something physical, you know, so I can find a thread to my inner world. And the physical thread was singing, was my body. And I feel this thread is also connecting me now to the world, and not only to, you know, to France, but also like to foreign countries. So sometimes I think of this thread as a physical, you know, physical thread I follow around the world, and I feel it's showing me the way.
No, my dear, I'm in tears. No, my dear, I'm in tears.
Your 2002 record, Le Sac de Fias, is a wonderful record, and yet I don't think it prepares us for the explosion of new sound that's your new record, Le Fil. What happened between 2002 and 2005?
Many people ask me this question, and I feel it's a musical and personal change, and it's a very natural change too. On my first album, I worked with lots of musicians. I listened to a lot because I felt I was starting, so I felt I needed to collaborate a lot and to listen to these guys, because they were mostly guys that had more experience than me. And then I toured with my first album, and I toured with a few musicians, and they were changing a lot, because sometimes they couldn't make it, so they were replaced, and I kept changing musicians and relying on them. Mm-hmm. And I think at one point I told myself, well, you need to know how independent you are, and you need to explore your own instrument to see how far you can go with your own instrument without relying on other people. So that was the start of my second album. I thought, okay, let's start arranging everything with my voice, see what you can do. And then instead of relying on others or listening to them, well, make them listen to you and tell them what you have in your mind.
So the one thing that you know you'll always have with you is your voice.
Yeah, yeah. And it's very handy because I carry it around.
And the sound that you've got now, obviously beatboxing is, you know, in there, but I almost find myself wanting to call it a sort of like a cappella gamelan.
Yeah, you can say it. It's a cappella gamelan, and some arrangements are quite minimalist. I would refer in visual arts to pointillisme.
Yes.
Do you know pointillisme?
Pointillism, yes.
Yeah, and minimalism is about pointillisme. It's a lot of, you know, small, you say spots?
I do dots.
Say. Dots.
Yes.
And when they're all together, they show an image. They make sense.
That's an interesting way to put it. When they're all together, they make sense, yes.
Yeah. Multitracking is about that sometimes, you know. You make little sounds and you add them and then it becomes a song.
Thank you.
Je suis à l'âge où l'on ne dort nulle part. Les seuls lits où je rêve sont des cas de gare. J'ai loué un placard pour mes robes d'hiver. J'ai tué les parents.
So, do you knit?
Do I knit? No, I don't. I've tried to knit once because there was a report on my music and they asked me to show my everyday life, you know, and I didn't want to go to the swimming pool with them or I don't know, you know, it was ridiculous. So I thought, okay, I'm going to knit. And I asked the teacher to show me how to knit and they filmed it. So I knit for about 15 minutes.
15 minutes, okay.
You know, for the show.
But obviously that idea of a thread of yarn and knitting is, I think, wrapped into your record, Lafile.
Yeah. Well, I think singing is about knitting. It's about flying. It's about everything, you know.
So it's strangely appropriate that your United States solo debut this evening will be at the Knitting Factory.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't thought about it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and I hadn't thought about the name, Knitting Factory. It's funny because knitting is a very traditional and intimate activity, and factory is about the industrial world.
Yes.
And so it's a nice contrast. I like it. I'm very happy to perform at the Knitting Factory tonight.
John Cage has a composition that's 4 minutes and 33 seconds of silence. And as we've said, Lafile includes 71 minutes of B.
Yeah.
And your record is anything but silence, and yet I still kind of wonder if your 71 minutes of B, if you feel some sort of kinship to John Cage's 4 minutes and 33 seconds of silence.
Yeah, as I said before, silence or a single note is the simplest and the most elaborate, you know, music. And I feel it's like these monochrome paintings you were talking
yes.
about. It looks neutral, but then it makes each person who hears it or sees it reflect about herself, himself. And I've heard so many different reactions to that single note. Like you would hear so many reactions about a color or about silence. Some people told me that they felt relaxed. Other people felt tense or like they flipped out. Like they
oh, wow.
felt, oh. Or some thought there was a buzz in their fridge. Some felt like meditating with that note. So it's very interesting. There's no truth. It's just a reaction.
I wanted to play for you a short clip. Martin Herman and I interviewed Joshua Fried. He's a New York composer, performer. He's got a show, Radio Wonderland, that he performs where he scans the FM dial and just grabs sound from the radio and then shapes it into sound. And let me play this little clip of our interview with him for you. There's some headphones right there.
The idea is for me to take live radio, live commercial radio, the mainstream, standard, recognizable commercial stream, chop it up as I like and turn it into funky musical patterns that are enjoyable, even danceable. And in a way, it's like John Cage, but in a way, it's totally the opposite. In a way, it's total musical conservatism. Because whereas Cage said, open your ears, mm-hmm. open your ears so wide that the whole wild universe of sound is heard as music, I'm saying, I'll take any sound in the universe, in the wild universe of all sound, well, of all radio, and tame it and narrow it down to match the width of our ears as they are now. So I have the radio. I grab a loop. I'm going to take the whole 4 seconds here for a second. Same loop, just really, really short, and I can hear different parts of it. So short that it, in fact, has become a pitch.
microsecond of the sound.
Yes, yes.
Through.
It's actually, I believe, it is actually 16.198158 milliseconds, which, as we all know, is B. It's the note B.
So I thought it was sort of fascinating that Joshua Fried has gone out to the universe of all possible sounds and grabbed that whole universe and compressed it all into B. And almost as if you were responding to Joshua, you've now taken B and stretched it out, and perhaps in your 71 minutes of B is the universe of all possible sounds.
Yeah, it's very funny. I just thought what he said was brilliant. Like these two opposites of taming universal sound or just leaving it as it is and saying it's music. I think, yeah, these are the two opposite attitudes. Well, I don't know. I like both.
Very good. Okay, one more artist and then I'll stop name dropping. I interviewed the composer James.
Can I drop my name? Camille.
Yes, so we haven't done that for a while, have we? And how many different ways can you say it?
I don't know. Shall I try?
Yeah, give me 10.
Camille. Is that five?
That's five.
Camille.
Very good.
Camille. Is that five? Camille. Camille. Is that five? Camille. Camille.
Very good. The composer James Tenney, I interviewed him and he said that he had a hard time telling people what kind of music he wrote. He said you meet someone on an airplane and they say, oh, you're a composer, what kind of music do you write? And he really never knew what to say. Mm. And that finally, he said that he found if he simply said, I write unpopular music, that people knew exactly what sort of music he created. And what I find so amazing, I think, about your record is that it's exciting sound that's just so new and fresh and different and pushing or destroying the envelope. And yet, in spite of all of that, it seems like your music is sort of popular music, that it's user-friendly and accessible. And I think it's just a pretty neat trick that you've managed to really sort of be out there and be exploring so widely and yet be so user-friendly. And I'm just wondering sort of how you pulled that off.
When people ask me what kind of music I do, the guy, for example, at the customs in Canada just before coming here asked me, you know, at the customs, oh, you do music, so what kind of music? Well, I answer, my kind of music.
Okay.
I think... Well, I don't think about these things, about being experimental or popular. I do my kind of music, and I, you know, this album's been recorded in a very simple way, very, very simple, with a very common mic in a home studio for vocals, because that's how I felt like doing it. And then we recorded the bass in a more professional studio. And then we mixed it in an even bigger studio, very professional studio with a very, you know, a fine mixing engineer. And the songs, you know, some are more in the, you know, chanson tradition, and some others are little ideas I develop. I'm also influenced by soundtracks, and I like this idea of scenario and thing. So I just mix what I like, and that's what it makes, and then you can reflect on it. And
l'aube se lève et la vie se cortège les fils. Tombe la neige, la danse se réveille, c'est dire. Moi j'ai un pied de mon lit à ma table. y a pas de but. Dire que je vais passer toute la journée assise.
So, live at the Trianon, is this like the little palace at Versailles where Marie Antoinette used to hang out?
No.
No, okay.
You're right. It's called the Trianon. No, it's a fairly traditional theater in northern Paris. Théâtre à l'Italienne, Italian theater, where I recorded one concert. That's probably one of the most traditional venue I've performed in Paris, because, you know, other times I've performed in a very small theater in the circus. And last time I performed in Paris, it was in a circus.
Well, I wanted to ask you about venues. I've looked at a few video clips of you performing, and it seems like you've been in some really interesting spaces. And I just wondered how the space impacts you and the sound that you make.
Oh, a space is determinant, you say? No.
Yes.
Determines, yeah. Sound is very much about space, about how it resonates in the space and how in your body you're influenced by the space you perform in. I really, really, really love spaces. And when you're touring and you go through so many cities and you don't have time to see the cities, the only thing you can discover really when you do a concert is the space you're in.
Is the theater or is whatever the venue is.
You know, so I like to know about the history of the place. The Knitting Factory, I like the name, so I like that was a nice way to discover the space. I like, yeah, to feel how it sounds, how people get together in it, how they are seated. And I think it determines everything. It determines the mood, it determines, you know. I performed once in a place in Paris, very, very tiny, 150 people. And many, many people wanted to come, so they were all packed up, and I stayed there for 3 weeks. And it was so hard physically, and at the same time so warm. Like it was, we were in a metro, all packed up, and it was a very special physical experience.
Pourquoi tu m'appelles Triangle alors que je m'appelle Trapèze? Pourquoi tu m'appelles Louis XV alors que je m'appelle Louis XVI? Pourquoi tu m'appelles Coq alors que je m'appelle Omelette?
As we said when we started this conversation, you know, we've been singing forever, maybe even for longer than we've had language. And yet for all of these millennia of singing, we've actually only been recording our voices for about 100 years or so. I mean, this recording thing is brand new.
Yeah, that's right.
What do you think of, you know, you've obviously done a lot of performing and you obviously have some incredible recordings now. What do you think of this experience of recording?
Good question. I think it's a new freedom we have, in a way. Because we can multitrack, because we can reflect on what we've done, because many people can hear it, so it travels. You can explore it with computers and stuff. You can explore sound.
Everything,
you know,
is data now.
You know, yeah. But at the same time, I think it's a sickness. And sometimes we forget about spontaneity and sharing the moment and the sound. You know, the sound always goes through technology.
We always hear a mediated voice.
Yeah, and sometimes I feel it's absurd, you know, being on stage and always having a microphone. And sometimes you just not feel the natural resonance anymore. you always feel something different that comes from somewhere else. You feel it doesn't belong to your body anymore.
And you don't need to have enough breath to hit the back row because the microphone will do that for you.
Yeah, and also I guess you develop different techniques. For example, when you hear Juan Gilberto, you know, the way he sings close to the mic, and it allows people to hear this very, very soft voice. So it's a new way of doing things and of exploring sound. But sometimes I feel tired spiritually and physically. Feel tired working with mics all the time. I feel it's a very modern disease to be to record everything all the time. You know, when I perform, most of the time, I don't know, one third of the audience is recording it
with
a mobile
right?
phone or filming it. I don't even need to film my concerts. I'm sure there are loads and loads and loads of videos, you know, around, you know, people feel pleasure by recording their own lives. You know?
So if
it's
you
very scary.
If you record your entire life, then you need an entire second life just to watch the video
exactly.
from your first life.
You need to, it's parallel lives, you know, you erase your own life by recording it. I don't know. So I guess with sound, you create by recording, of course, stuff. But you could also just sing in your shower and be happy. Yes, that's the... That's a great line.
The shower is good?
The shower is good.
Un, deux, trois. Y'en a un, deux, trop. C'est pas toi, c'est l'autre. Assis en face un soir, beau comme un étranger, on a échangé un regard, et maintenant je veux t'échanger.
Well, speaking of impromptu performances, your first vocal performance was a gospel song at a wedding about 8 years ago?
Yeah, well, I forced myself into not inventing that myth, but like
okay.
answering questions like, when did you start singing? So I had to...
You had to invent a myth.
Yeah, to invent the birthday of... Well, I actually sang at that wedding when I was about 16, and I remember feeling that was it. But I've always felt attracted to stage, and I danced when I was smaller. I did ballet, and every time I went to a concert, I felt like I want to go there.
And so how do we separate, or do we need to separate whatever it is that is real from all of the myths that we invent just because you're talking to some radio guy and you need to tell him when you first sang? So you do we create so much myth that we're always swimming in the things that we've made up
to
radio interviewers?
Well, I guess humanity needs myths anyway, and you need your own myths, you know. Your first myth is, who's your father and who's your mother? You know, that's, you know, we need myths to build ourselves, to build a society, to build yourself, and to build creation. You need myths. So that's part of the game.
Un, deux, trois. Mon soleil, c'était toi. Je suis perdu.
Speaking of this incredible sound that you've created, there's one track that you do where you're singing a note, and I think either you beat on your own chest, or I think, is it Matthew beats on your back?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about
on
that.
Upper. Well, I think most effects, electronic effects, can be made organically.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try some things out, and we've tried that out on this song. You know, you just make a rhythm on your chest or on your back.
It's almost Tarzan.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because on this song, on stage, we do both. And when I do it, I think I thought of King Kong, but Tarzan, we'll do it.
Avec tes pots de confiture, tu partiras en sucette, mais pas à l'aventure. Oh, ah, ah, ah. Belle, c'est différent. Il est né sur l'océan. C'est un grand capitaine, un amant, monument. Tu t'es perdu dedans.
You mentioned dance. You were a classical dancer for a while?
I was a classical dancer as a kid.
Classical as in ballet?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did a lot of ballet, and I think I learned a lot. It was very much about perfection of the body, occidental perfection, and you learn that there's no such perfection, that doesn't mean anything. Since then, I'm looking for my own thing.
I guess I do have one more name to drop after all.
Yes, sure.
The artist, musician, and Harvard professor Stephen Prina once said, "Everything I've ever written is either a love song or a drone." And it seems to me that you've managed to create a love song and a drone with your latest record.
I would say a drone is a love song.
Okay. It's a sort of love song. Or...
It's a love song because the drone on my album... The drone is the thread, and I think threads are about love, as are about how you're linked to other people, how you interact, how you pull the thread.
And will there be a thread across the stage this evening?
You'll see.
We'll see.
Maybe.
Maybe. And maybe a thread across your face?
Maybe too.
Maybe. We'll have to go to the Knitting Factory and find out.
Yeah.
Des fois, quand il est tard, y'a ses potes qui l'attendent au bar. Une bière, deux bières. Il me parle pendant des heures des filles qu'il a perdues de vue. Lui au moins, il n'a rien à perdre. Alors que moi, je n'ai rien vu. Les gens croient qu'ils ne me touchent pas, mais ils me touchent, mon petit vieux. C'est beau, c'est ride.
I read that you would have preferred to have been born a boy.
I've said that once. I don't remember why I said that. No, I think we were talking about traveling, and I said, when you're a boy, you're probably freer, more secure.
So it wasn't
but, well, I don't agree with myself, I think.
So being a girl is good.
Yeah, but I believe in, of course, you're a girl or a boy, but I believe in male power and female power and how they mix, you know, inside anyone. Good night.
So La Fille is such an amazing record, I think. And so then one can't help but wonder, well, where do you go from here?
Where do I go? I go where I feel like, and I... What? That's air conditioning?
Yeah.
I feel it's getting more cold. Cold
oh,
and
is
cold.
It?
Yeah. I want to say something to the United States. I hate air conditioning. It's bad for your voice, and it's absurd. I mean, it's an absurdity. I just...
So, okay, so we should just...
Say. And plastic bags too, but that's not only the United States.
So we should
plastic bags, mobile phones, and the air conditioning.
All three out.
Yeah.
You have no mobile
or with,
phone.
With a different way of using them. Let's say more. Plus. I don't know how to say it.
So you have no mobile phone.
I have a mobile phone, but I use it as an answer machine.
Oh, you mean you don't have it glued to your ear?
No, I listen to my messages and I use a kit, like, because I think it gives you cancer. That's what I think.
And well, it also curiously disconnects you from the world, right? You're in
what?
Sort of cyber. It puts you in sort of cyberspace, but not in the physical space that you're actually in.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what we were talking about. Communication, wireless communication, you don't take advantage of what is there physically. Anyway, what was your first question?
I think it was about the future. I think you sort of answered it.
Yeah, I've answered it because I didn't want to answer that because I never know what the future is going to be like. And I think in creation, when you want to create something anyway, in life in general, there's a great force, which is possibilities and accidents and chance. And that's part of creation. So I cannot say now what I'm going to do. I have ideas, but I cannot talk about it before it's done.
Je rêve à toi, à mes heures perdues. Hélas, à ma porte ce matin, la rue est morte, l'hôtel est quoi, les volets abattus. Dans la cour d'école, un peu plus loin, les oiseaux se sont tus. La la la, la la la, la la la, la la, je rêve à toi.
So tell me something about yourself that most people might not know.
What?
Tell me something about yourself that most people might not know.
Well, if they don't know, it's because I don't want them to know it.
So they already know everything they should know.
Yeah. Well, what people should know, what they should listen to, or what, I don't know if they should, but what they can listen to is my music. And I think that's the most important thing. The rest is really, well, it's not something
important.
I want to show, especially, or...
Well, speaking of the music, should we finish with a song from you?
Oh, yeah. okay. Believe me or not, but this bee, I cannot... I'm not sure I have it in mind all the time, so maybe I'm not in tune. You'll check it out. Oh, there's no keyboard. Trying to find my bee.
It'll turn up.
No, forget it. Forget it. I'd rather you to to record some of the concert. I don't want to do it, and I'm not in tune with the bee. It would be.
You don't want to mess up the bee.
It would be a total. How do you say? Like when something is sacred and you've
sacrilege.
Sacrilege. It would be a sacrilege. And I don't want. It just pisses me off that after all this tour, I still don't have this bee in mind. I have it. Sometimes it comes to me like a vision, and sometimes just kind of.
Well, you've had a lot of bee. Maybe you're overdosed. Well, actually, let me ask you one. There are so many sounds that are amazing and wonderful on this record. I love the King Kong sound. Another favorite is the. Tell me about.
Attends, c'est quoi? It's funny, we recorded that. We were in England with Magic Care, the producer of the album, recording this farting loop. And my agent called me and said, well, Virgin wants some news from you. They want to listen to some stuff. But I told them, don't worry, you know, let her do her thing. And you know, she's not like going to record farts and, you know, it's okay. Yeah. It's songs. I said, yeah, of course. I mean, of course, you're right. We're not recording farts.
He literally, you were recording. And
I was recording farts, and she told me, well, I told them, well, she's not recording farts, you know. She's recording songs. It's okay. Don't worry.
And they didn't know how lucky they would be.
Yeah, I didn't answer. I said, yeah, well. And then later on, I told her, you know, the day you told me that, I was actually recording farts.
And where did that come from? Is it just a simple... just messing around?
Yeah. For me, I mean, bodies are laboratories.
Bodies are laboratories?
Laboratories. Laboratories. So, for me, working on this album was about exploring sounds, my body, what came to my mind, what came to my mouth, really. And as this song is about pain, I'm telling someone I'm gonna take your pain.
Mm-hmm.
And pain is about, it's very organic. And I wanted to do something organic, but something light. Not something like, you know.
It would be too much.
It would be too much. So I wanted something lighter to enlighten the subject. So I did farts.
Well, Camille, thanks for visiting Strange Angels.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to Los Angeles and have a great United States solo performance debut at Knitting Factory tonight.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for listening.
Je vais tout lui confisquer, ses fléchettes et son sifflet. Je vais lui donner la fessée. Je vais prendre ta douleur, la virée de la récré. Je vais prendre ta douleur. Mais c'est qui cette héritière qui se baigne, qui saute dans le tiède de tes reins?
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. We now return you to normal broadcast radio.